Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the line with us is the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, even on the All-Star break week, Gabe Kapler. Hi, Gabe.
Hi, Angelo. How are you?
Gabe, you missed me, didn't you, last week? You couldn't wait another week. You needed to talk to me.
You're spot on. I really did. There's a little withdrawals going on.
All right. Well, fair enough. And I also just speculated, Gabe, that you would prefer a no break. You want to just keep going, didn't you?
I like the work part of it, man. I really do. It's the grind and the dig in is a lot of fun for me. So we've actually had a couple of days to kind of go back and assess the first half and look forward to the second half. So this has been a nice break, but also there's been some thought intertwined.
Well, that's fair. How important was it to win the last series of the first half?
It was big for us, Angelo. It moved our record to 8-4 over our last 12 games. We think we're moving in the right direction. And as you know, all teams, even the best ones, have skids, but we didn't crack. So like I mentioned, as we're kind of reassessing the first half, there's a ton of work to be done. But the players went into the break feeling confident as a result of that last series, and that's a good thing.
Aaron Nola, man, he looks like Aaron Nola again, Gabe. What changed here?
So I think it's pretty simple. Aaron's command has improved. He's putting the ball where he wants it to go. The curveball makes that sharp left turn, so that's been better as well. And those are just the most obvious things I'm seeing. He's so consistent in his between starts routine. I know that's something that we've talked about on the show in the past. And that preparation, that in between starts routine, breeds a unique level of confidence. And sometimes I think we forget that Aaron just turned 26 years old. He's still very much a developing player. And that development was taking place as he struggled early on.
He looks so good that you could see it's kind of a radical difference between him and your other guys who have either struggled or been inconsistent. Is there an overriding theme on what's happening with the rest of the pitching staff right now, Gabe?
I think they're struggling with development as well, to some degree. I mean, I think you look at Eflin and Nick Pivetta and Vince Velasquez and some of the other starters that we've had come up and make contributions. Those guys are all mid-20s as well, and some of them are even younger than that. That's not to say that it's not time for performance, because it absolutely is. And look, there's adjustments that need to be made and need to be made fairly certainly and soon if we're going to be the kind of team that we want to be. Now, we believe the talent is there, and we're excited to see these guys do their work in the second half.
All right, Jake Arrieta had a rough time on Saturday night. That's pretty clear. And now we learn about a bone spur. Gabe, is that one of the reasons he's struggling?
Jake's elbow is limiting his ability to get into certain positions. So to some degree, yes. He's having a harder time getting extended the way he normally does, especially on that curveball. This is limiting his ability to throw the ball where he wants to throw it. All of that said, Jake is a competitor. And for the Phillies, it's always worth considering if Jake at 85% of himself is a better option than what we have at AAA. And finally, I think this is an important note in answering this question. It's not terribly uncommon for veteran pitchers to successfully pitch with issues like this one. So as of now, Jake will make a start for us against the Nationals, and we're going to support him.
All right, so he is, as of now, he's still available to you. Will you have clarity on his long-term availability soon? Are there tests being done, Gabe? What's happening with his long-term?
Yeah, we'll get some scans and we'll take a look. I think what will give us the best indication is how he feels in his next start.
All right. As talk show people, we love when a player says he wants to put a dent in the head of an opponent, the way that Jake did about Todd Frazier. I'm really curious as to your reaction to that comment.
My reaction is that baseball can get heated. It can get emotional. And I think Jake was incredibly upset when he was asked that question. I think that came out in his answer. I'm guessing if you asked him the same question right now, he'd answer it in a different way.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to philosophy. Because you know that when you came here, Matt Klentak came here, we were kind of introduced to an analytics age. Now we're getting a sense, Gabe, that there's some tweaking of that philosophy, especially when it comes to fastballs earlier in the count. Are the hitters looking at things a little differently now than they did, let's say, a couple of months ago?
Our core hitting philosophy of being especially aggressive on pitches you can drive, and we've talked about this a bit, remains the same. However, we recognize that by being ready to hit the fastball, we can still hit spin. We put ourselves in a good position to do damage that way. So the goal of this approach, when executed, is wearing down the opposing pitcher with a combination of two things. Number one, getting on base, and number two, doing damage. When executed successfully, we put runs on the board and we force the other team to burn through their bullpen options. So that philosophy, there's been some tweaks, as you mentioned,
yeah,
but the core of it is still intact.
Well, I'm watching Rhys Hoskins, and the guys are even talking about it on the radio Sunday. He has seen more pitches than anyone else in baseball so far this year. And I'm wondering if it's a good thing or if that's too selective.
So the philosophy that we just walked through, Rhys is a master of that philosophy. The selectivity that you see with him comes into play specifically when he decides he can't drive a pitch. So it's just off the plate, he spits on it. I'm thinking back to Mike Schmidt, and I remember reading about a year in 1983 where he had something like 130 walks, 140 strikeouts, and 40 homers. It was just a monster year. And I imagine if we went back and examined that, I haven't examined it that closely, we'd see that he saw a lot of pitches along the way. It doesn't mean he wasn't aggressive or that he was too selective. You know, sometimes when we see a lot of pitches, it's not because we're asking anybody to take. And for some, and I think this is true for Rhys, it can be the result of fouling off tough pitches and seeing several more in at bat before finally getting a pitch to hammer.
Wow. Well, clearly his best days are still ahead of him. Carlos Santana, having an amazing year in Cleveland on the All-Star team, huge ovation, you know, back in Cleveland for the game. Not so successful here. You're his manager from last year, Gabe. What are you seeing now that he didn't have last year?
That's a great question. It's one I've thought a lot about. Speaking of thinking a lot about it, I did a lot of homework on Carlos before we acquired him, as did our front office. And I thought he was fascinating. For example, I think it was 2014 and 15 in two consecutive years, he hit .231. And in those years, his power fluctuated. So one year he had a lot more home runs than the other. But what has stayed consistent through Carlos's career was his approach. He had always gotten on base, which he did well for us last year. And this year, frankly, he's just raking. So it's possible that he's just having his career year this year.
Okay. A couple of things about the second half, because it's upon us. You got some big, big games coming up. So far, first half, Gabe, biggest strength of the team, and how will you maintain that in the second half?
Yeah, I don't think it's the hitting or the bullpen or the pitch. I don't think it's any one category like that. I think our biggest strength has been our toughness. And I think it's the real reason that if the season ended today, we'd be in the playoffs. We lost huge pieces of our bullpen. We lost our leadoff hitter and emotional spark plug. We had key pieces of our team, as you know, get off to rough starts. And our guys just continued to battle daily. And the group stayed loose and continues to stay loose. We know that we're going to have a lot more challenges like the one we faced in the first half, and our toughness will define us during those challenges. And so far, that has been the strength of our team.
All right, Gabe, biggest concern?
Yeah. Well, openly, my biggest concerns are always related to health. As an industry, we're still learning how to keep guys healthy, how to get guys healthy faster. And it's a puzzle. There's so much we don't know. But what we do know is that if our guys feel good and strong, they're more likely to play good and strong. So, like I said, fascinated by this puzzle. Wish I had all the answers here. Just don't.
The ownership of this team made such a financial commitment to this season, Gabe. Do you ever take a moment to worry about what the repercussions might be if you don't make the playoffs?
I don't worry at all about that, Angelo. I want to manage the Phillies because I love this team and I love our fans, but I really do know how this works. I'm responsible and accountable for wins and losses. It's that simple. But I never played this game, and I know you ask me from time to time about my experience as a player. I never played this game worried about repercussions, and I won't manage this team with worry either.
Right. So you don't feel any extra pressure as you start the second half?
That's a different and a fair question. I do feel pressure, and I really like it. Going back to the player analogy, I got to Boston in the middle of the summer back in 2003. And the team was making a really strong push to get to the postseason that year. And the Marlins came to Fenway Park, and Brad Penny was on the mound for the Marlins for my first game as a Red Sox player. And I was coming from Colorado, and I hadn't experienced that level of intensity as a home player. So the expectations were high in Boston that year. We were counted on to perform, and I had one of my best days as I got to Boston. And it was because of the pressure of my first time wearing that uniform. So I guess all of this is to say that pressure can bring out the best in us, and I'm glad we have it here in Philadelphia.
Gabe, you hit the monster off Brad Penny on your first game, didn't you?
No, Angelo, I cleared the monster.
No way!
Stop
yeah!
Stop. You know the story. You're just trying we've talked about that. Stop.
He cleared the monster out. Good job. Gabe, good luck the second half. I appreciate you coming on today, Gabe. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Gabe Kapler. Do you remember? I mean, watched every red. He did.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.